Hello everyone, this is Adam Zeller with AVPGalaxy.net. I'm also known on our forums as Ridgetop. So recently a new documentary premiered at the Sundance Film Festival titled Memory, The Origins of Alien. As the name implies, this film goes into some of the very early concepts and ideas surrounding the first Alien film. When I heard that a new Alien documentary was going to be at Sundance, I knew I had to try and check it out for myself, as Sundance isn't too far from me. Thankfully, I was able to get into one of the subsequent screenings a few days after the film's premiere, and I really enjoyed it. It was a very different take than I was used to seeing with the behind-the-scenes material we've gotten from the various Blu-ray and DVD releases over the years. Those have been great, but this very much distinguishes itself with its own identity as kind of a hybrid film essay as well as an exploration into the early influences, concepts, and ideas surrounding Alien. It was very much focused on Dan O'Bannon, and I was happy to see him get his due, although it did also go into the creative involvement of Ridley Scott and H.R. Giger. The day after I saw the film, I was fortunate enough to be able to sit down with its director, Alexander Philippe. Alexander Philippe's last film focused on a single scene of the movie Psycho, which he also premiered at Sundance back in 2017. This Alien documentary very much came about with a similar idea in mind, where he wanted to focus mainly on the chestburster scene in Alien, but it grew from that, and it turned into more of a mythological exploration of Alien, though the chestburster scene is very much a huge part of this documentary. So if you're interested, I highly recommend you check this film out for yourself. Without further ado, I present the director of Memory, The Origins of Alien, Alexander Philippe. Firstly, thanks so much for joining us for this interview. I really enjoyed the film and how different it was from traditional behind-the-scenes material that's been produced for Alien. What motivated you to take on this project, and how did all the planning for it get started?
Well, you know, initially I was really interested in the idea of making a film about the chestburster and, you know, very specifically its significance. I'm very interested in these moments in culture that, or moments in cinema, really, that sort of resonate with us, that change culture in a certain way, that have this massive impact. You know, been doing this for a while now, looking at my filmography, but there's really something about the chestburster that was intriguing to me, and the way that it, I think, jolted audiences to a different kind of consciousness. And so, you know, approaching that scene to me was a very different, you know, very different approach from the psycho shower scene. Very quickly realized it couldn't be the same, you know, done the same way. And I became very interested in the mythological roots of Alien. I think that Memory is not just an origin story, but it's very much a mythological take on the movie Alien. And, you know, via all the influences also of, you know, that Dan O'Bannon drew from, and, you know, the symbiosis between Dan O'Bannon and H.R. Giger and Ridley Scott. I mean, there's a lot there. I mean, there's so much there to explore, and I felt that this needed to be a feature film.
The documentary opens with a scene featuring the three Furies inside a Nostromo-like set. What was your intention behind this dramatic scene, and how did this spaceship set come about?
So without giving too much away about Memory, because I think it holds a few surprises, I really wanted to establish visually and viscerally the connection that exists between the chestburster and the Greek Furies, in the sense that there are mythological roots to Alien. And so that particular scene really came almost unconsciously. It came from my unconscious. And it felt like the right thing to do, in the sense that it sort of throws the audience immediately in this world that has certain elements of mythology. There's obviously the Temple of Apollo at Delphi. There are very few shots from another temple at Volterra in Italy, and then we get into the spaceship, and here are the Greek Furies, and, you know, we have the blue laser and the blue mist, which, of course, Alien fans will instantly recognize. The Furies have these metal dentures that the fans will recognize, of course, but yet here they are speaking in ancient Greek. So it's this sort of blend of the Alien universe and Greek mythology, you know, the idea was to really create instantly a question. What is the connection between Alien and the Greek Furies? And that's a question that is, of course, answered over the course of the film itself. So it was definitely out there. You know, I had many conversations with my producers about this. I felt very strongly about having that sequence. It is essentially it's a kind of a almost pure cinema opening sequence. You know, so far I've seen that it resonates with the fans, so I'm very happy with that.
That was really interesting. Unexpected for a documentary opening, for sure. It it seemed to me like the spotlight was truly on O'Bannon here. After him, Giger, and less so on Ridley Scott. Typically, the focus on them has been in the opposite order. Was this a deliberate choice to keep the focus on Dan O'Bannon?
Oh, for sure. I mean, I think that Dan was the... Dan is the forgotten hero of Alien, and the course of the making of Memory really changed when I got to meet Diane O'Bannon, his widow, who is one of our executive producers and who very generously opened Dan's archives for the first time. She's been very protective of them, and I think she was probably waiting for the right project to come along. You know, when I went to see her in San Diego at her house. She opened the door and there were all these boxes laying around. There were drawings from Dan, scripts, different, versions of Alien, sketches of the creatures, obviously pre-Alien, before he even met Giger. Storyboards from Ron Cobb at a time when the derelict was just a pyramid. And then, of course, there were the two different versions of Memory, the script, which is only about 30 pages long. There's a version A and a version B with slight differences, one to the other. And I just had, goosebumps. Just being able to look at all this material was overwhelming. And ultimately, I gained Diane's trust, and it became clear to me that if we were going to make a film about the origins of Alien and having access to Dan's archive, then it had to be very much about Dan. But like I said, I think Memory for me is a film about the creative symbiosis that happened between Dan, Giger, and Ridley Scott. I mean, at the end of the day, you remove any of those three, you don't have Alien in this particular fashion. There was an extraordinary symbiosis, very specifically between Dan and Giger, their interest in Necronomicon, their passion for Lovecraft. They were very much on the same wavelength. And then Ridley came along and he connected with that. They needed Ridley to execute Alien in this particular way, and Ridley was clearly the right director, as Ron Truesat says in my film. He was the greatest visual stylist since Kubrick's prime. So that's, I think there's all these elements, and then all the serendipity around the making of Alien, the fact that Dune had to essentially collapse in order for Alien to really happen. It's an amazing behind the scenes story, which I think goes beyond just a making of. There's really something way deeper that happened there.
Yeah, Yodorovsky's Dune is also one of my favorite documentaries, it was cool to see some allusions to that in yours as well. Did you try and bring in Ridley Scott or Sigourney Weaver to discuss the film, or did you feel that their involvement in Alien had already been thoroughly covered?
No, I definitely tried. It just didn't work out, it is what it is. But in retrospect, it's kind of serendipitous in the sense that I think that it's difficult to make a cinematic essay about three geniuses, three creators, and have two of them absent and one of them present in the process. So I think if Ridley had been able to do an interview and to participate in the film, I think it would have been a different film. So I in retrospect, I love the fact that we get to have their presence, but only via archival footage.
One of the things that really interested me was that you had access to Dan O'Bannon's vault. Outside of what was in the documentary, what were the most interesting things you learned about Alien from diving into his archives?
Ooh, that's a good question. That's a really good question. I'll just say one thing. I think that there are many different versions of the script, and there are pages and pages and pages of story notes with alternate endings, which I found absolutely fascinating. And the very first version of Alien, the first version of the script when it was actually called Alien, not Star Beast, not Memory. What's fascinating is it's a roughly 115-page script, I think. And the chestburster scene actually happens on page 73 or 75. So very, very late in the story. So that was really fascinating for me to see how much more of because we talk about Alien as a slow burn, where it was even more of a slow burn in the early stages of Dan O'Bannon's process. And Ron Truesat at that point was also, involved in the writing. So it's been really fascinating to kind of explore all these different notes and all these different ideas from Dan O'Bannon.
In the film, you briefly touch on Ridley Scott's more recent prequel Alien films, Prometheus and Covenant. It seemed like your interviewee was suggesting that the chest-bursting sequence in Covenant felt like an early discarded draft of the idea for Alien. I was wondering if you could elaborate on your own personal feelings on the differences between these two old and new sequences.
Yeah, I mean, what's interesting is that, you know, he does say that, but he also says it, and I'll quote him here, you know, if you give into it, it's also really delightful. And that's what to me is really interesting and, I mean, really fascinating about Ridley's process now, as obviously the great master filmmaker that we know and love, is that he is clearly drawn to a deeper exploration of this myth that he has created, of course, along with Dan and Giger. At this stage of his career, that he's willing to re-explore, to continue to dig deeper into it and to express it in different ways. So I find that absolutely fascinating. And I think I'm very much old school in the sense that, you know, I think Alien, the original Alien, is still the best of all the Alien films for me. But I think it's absolutely great to see him delving deeper into that universe and also really interesting to see that there are certain themes and ideas that keep recurring that, you know, of course, themes and ideas that you see also in Blade Runner. So there are certain preoccupations, I think, that maybe give us a little more of a sense of what Ridley is about now and what he might be thinking about now.
The first documentary of yours that I had seen was The People versus George Lucas, which I thought was fantastic. With Scott's prequels being part of the Alien, me being part of the Alien fandom, I've personally felt some similarities to what you explored in that documentary. You have one of the creators coming back and revisiting his earlier ideas to mixed reception. Do you see any similarity there yourself, and might you be interested in exploring the Alien franchise again and how it has evolved as a franchise as you did with Star Wars?
Oh man, that's a loaded question. You know, I think any creator, be it George Lucas or Ridley Scott or any of those amazing filmmakers who gave us, you know, movies like Star Wars or Alien, are completely entitled to do what they want to do. I mean, if Ridley wants to make Alien movies for the next 10 years, I mean, that's totally his prerogative, and I think more power to him, you know what I mean? So I don't think there's any sort of comparison. You know, I think that the issue with The People versus George Lucas was that George refused to restore and release the original film that we'd seen in the theaters, and yeah, that's still an ongoing debate now, I think, for the fans. So, you know, when Blade Runner came out, the Blu-ray set of Blade Runner came out, Ridley gave us five different versions and nobody complained. You know what I mean? So those are completely different issues. But no, I think there's still fun films to watch. I mean, you know, as much as it's when you create a masterpiece like Alien, how are you ever going to top that? When you create a masterpiece like Blade Runner, how are you ever going to top that? I don't think Ridley is trying to do that. I think he's trying to delve deeper into certain themes and ideas that he wants to expand upon. And I think that's great because I think it gives us perhaps a different context into his thinking as a filmmaker and quite frankly as a human being as well.
As opposed to another strictly behind-the-scenes documentary, you really focused on the mythology and feelings surrounding Alien, as well as the perfect storm of collaborators who came together to produce something truly memorable. 40 years later, how do you feel that Alien has had the kind of staying power that it has?
Well, I think Alien precisely has the kind of staying power that it has because it tapped into something deeper. I think that Alien is now a myth for our age. I think the Xenomorph is completely a mythological creature. It is a mythological creature that doesn't just come out of the blue. It itself tapped into other myths, other stories, other images that resonate with, in fact, different cultures as well. And, you know, those are creatures that come from the unconscious. You know, I don't think you can ever sort of put that Xenomorph into a box and say, well, this is what it is. It comes from Pazuzu, or it comes from Kali, or it comes from the Bosch paintings, or, you know, whatever the case may be. It's all of that. It is, as Will Lynn, the mythologist that we've interviewed in the film, talks about, it is a creature that comes from the cauldron of imagination that was Giger's. In terms of its designs, it comes from dreams, it comes from nightmares, and comes from his unconscious and resonates with our collective unconscious. And so you couple that with the story that is Alien and how great that is and how much of a myth it is as well, then you end up having a movie that is going to resonate forever. It was the right story at the right time, executed by the right people, and that's why it will always be one of the greatest films ever made.
The Alien series has been extensively documented over the years. Even though Memory takes a very specific look at O'Bannon, Giger, and the Chestburster, did you get in touch with any of the other Alien documentarians, such as Charles de Lazarica, or utilize their releases?
No, I when I do something, I like to do my own thing. I mean, of course, I've watched, you know, what's been done. I've, you know, we've even used some clips, but, you know, there hasn't been a conversation. You know, when I work, I tend to work pretty much in a, you know, in a bubble, and follow the story that I want to tell. You know, I mean, as you've said earlier, you know, I don't make behind the scenes documentaries, or making of, you know, which are great. I mean, you know, thank goodness for them. But that's not what I do.
Are you planning a wide release of the film, and when can we expect to see it on digital and Blu-ray?
Well, you know, at this point, it all depends on what happens with distribution. We just premiered the film, you know, 3 days ago now, and we already have some offers. We have some conversations. You know, our sales agent, Indie Sales, are handling that at this point. You know, it's always. It's a question mark at this point, but I'm sure there will be a release. I'm pretty confident about that. And so stay tuned.
Well, fans are very much looking forward to seeing it. I'd love to watch it again. Thanks again for your time. Before we conclude, is there anything you'd like to tell Alien fans about the film that I haven't given you the opportunity to?
I think this film really, very much is a love letter to Dan. And I just hope that this film will give even the most hardcore Alien fans desire to, you know, dig deeper into what he's done and what he's given us and into his craft. And obviously they're going to see a number of things that they've never seen before when they watch Memory, because as I've said before, there's so many archival elements that Diane gave us access to that were unpublished or unreleased. So just on that front, I think the hardcore Alien fans should have a good time. And I think even people who are just curious about Alien are, you know, going to learn something about the film itself. But I also want to say that even though this is a film about Alien, Memory is, I think at its core, is a film about, you know, the resonance of myth in our collective unconscious. So it's a film about Alien, but it's a film about a lot more than Alien. And I hope that the fans will find it a fitting tribute on the 40th anniversary of the film.
Well, thank you again for your time. I really appreciate it. Congratulations on the film.
Thank you.
And we appreciate, especially on the 40th anniversary, to be able to take a little deeper look at the movie. So
thank you so much.